My name is Andre Whitehead. For 15 years, I have grown the brand of Tennessee Prep Hoops. Now, with the assistance of Brent Watts, we bring to you Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio. All right, welcome to Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio. This is Andre Whitehead, and guess who's back? Feeling admirably filled in last week. Alex Bowers from Knoxville Catholic. He did a really good job. And
yeah, Tito and Jackson. Me and Seth had appreciate you being here, Tito Jackson. But Michael, the king, is back in the building. Michael Jackson's back. Tito, you did a good job. You actually sounded halfway literate, which is
We could hear him.
Would you want to hear what he has to say?
Absolutely.
No.
There was potential upgrades in a lot of categories, according to me and Seth.
Now that I'm back is, you know, when I listened to Bowers, was Beyonce in the background singing that, like, Dish Network commercial, "Let me upgrade you." And I am the upgraded version of Bowers.
I'm not really sure if that, no.
Yes.
Yeah, turn his mic off.
But he was the one filling in for you. He would be the upgraded version of you. We're back to cable.
Don't even get into logic,
right. Yeah,
Seth.
We had Dish. Now we're back to cable.
Seth, last week was Tennessee Prep Hoops, and they have Dish. This week it's Tennessee Prep Hoops, and we have cable.
Nice one, Seth. That's great.
Remember we talked about on air what might happen, Seth?
That's great.
I'm plotting.
That is funny.
No, I'll say, sorry yourself. I missed last week. Alex did do a great job. I've known Alex since he's been at Maryville. He's a good player. He's a good coach at Catholic. I really like. I want to call him a kid, but he's 29 now.
I know it is. I remember him from high school.
Yeah.
So, I've known him longer than you, but no, he's a good – that was a good person to fill in, and he was real happy to do it and real excited. And he did good. He asked some good questions for the coaches.
He's a smart guy.
And filled right in. So, well, I guess the big news is – Fall League, Rocky Top.
Great championship Sunday.
Great championship.
It was fun.
It was a good day.
A lot of scoring, a lot of great individual performances.
We had a really good day. It was a Sunday at Maryville College. We had a pretty good crowd. People came out. It was great. The championship game went pretty much like I thought it would. Be a close game. I wasn't sure who was going to win, but it was a close game.
I'll go back
from the beginning to the end.
I'll go back to when we started this thing 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago, and it's like, who would be big? Javonte G was big.
Javonte G was big, and that's why he was named the MVP of the Rocky Top Fall League. So congratulations to G. And if you want to go to TennesseePrepHoops.com, you can read the stories. I put them up yesterday for the Fall League championships, and then for week four in Nashville, and we have championships in Nashville this Saturday, and we'll talk about them a little
bit exciting
here in a few minutes. But we're going to go over some of the stuff that happened this week in the Rocky Top League, which was the championship game was a great game.
Yes,
G played strong at the beginning, didn't play well in the middle, I thought, but came on at the end and hit big free throws to seal the game because they missed a couple free throws. They missed like four. You know, we shoot one to make two, so they missed two chances for 4 points and. Upchurch and them came down and they couldn't score. And then finally G got the ball and they fouled G and G hit the shots and G sealed the game and put it away. But I mean, Upchurch had a great year. Easton Upchurch played extremely well in that game. He ended up with I believe he had 15 points. Josh Endicott from Upperman had another good game. They had four guys end up in double figures for the year average. So I was real excited for them. They had Tristan Upchurch, Garrett Anderson, and really just a really solid team.
They were balanced.
Blake Irvin, Calvin Keeble from Heritage. They did a real good job the whole year. They were very balanced in their scoring. Big game for Javian Johnson from Oak Ridge.
Yes.
He hit some threes early that really set that tone because Upchurch came out and it was like 13-2. They came out on him fast. And then Javian hit like three threes in a row. And all of a sudden, Steinmetz took the lead. And then we were going back and forth for most of the rest of the game. I don't think for the rest of that game got over 4 points either way. So great to see championship game played that tough.
Yeah, the effort level. And it's nice to see. I had Javian 2 years ago. Watch his development. He's a big kid. He's turned into a nice player. It was a lot of fun. It was everything you hoped for. But I thought the whole day went well.
The whole day did go well. And hey, and I, you know, much as I hate to do this, Seth.
But you do it all the time.
I have to give him a congratulations.
You have to do what you have to do.
His team finished, I mean, he finished 5-1 overall. He lost a game early. He closed
two,
the league.
Two Steinmetz. I lost by four to Steinmetz, and we didn't have Trey.
And you came on strong. I think you won your last four. And speaking of Trey, Trey is a rising ninth grader, class of 2019 for IM. He'll be attending Fulton High School. Trey scored 32 points on Sunday.
Let me put it this way. If you're a fan of Fulton basketball or just basketball in general in the Knoxville area, go ahead and buy season tickets to Fulton basketball. Trey Davis,
good little player,
worth the price of admission.
But as the catalyst,
don't say
the
it.
Main guy.
Don't say it.
The guy that just controls the entire tempo of the game. The guy that got the ball to Trey Davis so he can make those points.
The coach?
Luke Smith.
Cody's brother. Cody was there watching. Smith. Luke did play.
Well, Cody could be there watching, but Luke Smith was the center of attention.
Hit that one play. And the funny thing about Luke, Luke's fearless.
The layup off the very top of the backboard over Fulkerson.
Fulkerson.
Yeah, yep. Fulkerson, who's long and incredible prospect. Little Luke's driving the lane, and he sees Big John go up there and put that arm up. And I mean, Luke literally hit the top of the metal corner. The cushion or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
And finished that. He was just laughing. That was great. But that was against Team Feltner. They closed strong. They had a good, nice team.
They did.
Danny Bates ended up with a good game. Seth Leonard played well. And Adam Hurd from Carter and Cameron Gregg from Jefferson County also finished strong for them. But pretty great effort on your part, man. You guys did real well in that game. And then I got to give a shout-out to Cameron Sharp, too.
Yep.
They won their last four games.
Yep.
Connolly Hamilton from Powell led them with 15 points.
He came on strong.
He had a solid year. He had 15 to 18 points in every game this year. And then for Team Sexton, finally, you know, it's been a tough year. He's missed a couple games because of some visits and some things like that. He got a little sick early. But Connor Arnold, Big Slim, put it down on Sunday. He came to play. And he had 22 points, and he looked like the Connor Arnold that, he looked completely healthy, and he looked rested, and he played really, really well. I mean, Team Sexton, they finished 2-3, I think, or 3-2 on the year, and I was really proud. As a team that was loaded with freshmen, CJ Gettelfinger, Grant Ledford, all the Bearden freshmen, a young team. And they just came on strong. They played tough. I was worried, you know, when I first put that team together, the way it worked out, I was like, oh, my God, they got so many freshmen. But it didn't matter.
No. Those
kids played tough. They played hard every weekend, and I was real proud of them.
Yeah, the Ledford kid.
Good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
CJ's going to be a good player. They're good players. They're for incoming freshmen. They're good players.
And they compliment Big Slim well. Coach DeWitt's going to have a pretty dang good team over there.
I think he's going to have a nice team.
That's going to be another one that
that's a Class A team that
if you're a fan of basketball, that's going to be a
well, speaking of fans of basketball, and if you want to go see somebody, you got to go down to Anderson County and see Oak Ridge. Oh, my Lord. Team Lane, Halston Lane, the all-time leading scorer at Oak Ridge.
Overfloweth the cuppeth.
Tajon Jones
EJ Bush.
Scored the highest. It was the highest scoring total of the year.
Yes.
With 33 points. And he was just filling it up. And Shaquan Gibson, who came on for them in the second game as a fill-in, ended up averaging close to 20 points a game. EJ Bush had a good year for them. They beat Team Matthews. Bryrick Savage from Cookeville was completely outstanding the whole year. Very consistent. I like the consistency. Conley Hamilton, Bryrick Savage, consistent. They had 15 to 18 points every single week. And then Silas Clark from Cumberland County. I mean, the kid scored 14, but he's the kind of kid that, I mean, if I'm starting a team, I want him on my team because he makes winning plays. He makes great passes. He defends. He can score. He's a rising sophomore from Cumberland County. He's a really, really good player.
Here's a funny thing about all the guys we mentioned, Javian Johnson, Javante G, Tajon, EJ, Shaquan.
They all go to Oak Ridge.
They all go to Oak Ridge. And we're not talking about the guys that Aaron has that are currently playing football.
This is true.
Yeah. Aaron.
He's got a
We'll put the pressure on
him.
We're just
going to put the pressure on him right now. We're just going to say, good luck to you in Murfreesboro.
Yeah. we're expecting to see you there.
Yeah. And then we had the highest scoring game of the year. Team Jones and Team Garmin was the 104-86 game. Josh Jones from Walker Valley had his high. He had 29. Kenny Bunton finished with 27.
I bet there were some monster dunks in that game.
And then Keaton Dotson, 24.
Keaton Dotson
DeAndre
showed out.
DeAndre Gibson, 18. Guess where DeAndre Gibson goes to high school? Also Oak Ridge.
Oh,
and he had 18 in that game. And then for Team Garmin, excuse me, who was missing Miles Thomas, who was he was at his recruiting visit at Tennessee Tech. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. But Chase Cerny finished with 28.
Yeah.
Troy Martin from Austin East had 26. Hunter Reynolds had 16. Spencer Lowe, 12. So it was the highest scoring game we've had this year. But great fun. I mean, for the second game of the season, second game of the tournament, it was a great game.
I'll tell a little story. So before the league started, I remember the first scrimmage we had at CAK, and I can remember calling a coach after the game and saying, I just saw him play for the first time. I like this Spencer Lowe kid. I heard the coaches in a group talking about Spencer Lowe. So if you want an actual – that is a real instance that occurs at this league. These coaches do talk, and you do get the exposure. It happens. That's a cool instance that I can actually quantify. So good for
quantify.
Good for
him. Did you hear that, Seth?
It's a good word.
That's a million-dollar word for a 20-cent vocabulary. That's not bad. It's like he probably looks and he writes down a word every day.
Bowers didn't get this
tries
abuse.
Tries to use this in a sentence.
Bowers didn't get this abuse.
No, he didn't. Because his hair was coiffed perfect. And every time I looked over, he was like had a shining light around him. It was crazy. But and then the first game of the season, which was Team Morgan and Team Morton. You know, neither team had won a game, so it was important for someone to and David Henson from Hardin Valley, who had played really good early in the league, tapered a little, but really came to play that game. He ended up with 21 points, Morton won. But you know, in Team Morgan's defense, they were short some players that weren't there. But Justin Barnett had another pretty good game with 19. Nathan Hastings, the big kid, finished with 22. I liked the kid Justin Warner, who played on Team Morton from Granger. That was a kid that played hard every game. He showed up every week. He steadily improved, I think, and he's just a junior. So that's a kid that I think is going to be able to play some small college basketball in the near future. So
I think Justin Barnett really came on towards
Justin
the end of
Barnett
the league.
Justin Barnett has really, really played. Got confidence in his shot now.
Yeah.
He was one of the best players at the Carson Newman Showcase, and he closed the season down pretty good. So, yeah, real proud of Justin, and, you know, he's our boy. He's our score keeper.
Well, yeah, I like to see that his confidence grew as it went on, because I tried to take his confidence in the summer. Every time I'd see him at the Big Rocky Top League, I would try and steal his confidence.
Why would you do that?
It's because I'm cold-blooded like that.
Why would he say that? I mean, I don't understand. He's just a kid, man. He's trying to help, and then you do stuff.
You bully.
I was bullying.
I'm going to get an injunction and keep you like 200 feet away from Justin at all times.
Injunction.
Yeah, conjunction. It's crazy. But you can go to tnprephoops.com and read all about that, about every game and the scoring and everything. And tomorrow I will be posting the all-league teams, and I will also be tweeting them out individually, the players that are named. We're going to have a first team, second team, and then a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth team. And then each of the teams below first and second are going to have like a little name, like, you know, at the rim, in the paint, on the break, you know, something cute I came up with. I think it's awesome.
I don't get it.
You, of course you don't.
When in Rome. Yeah. I don't get it. When in Rome.
But so real excited about that. And actually one of your players is on the first team. So.
Yeah.
And one of your players is on the second team.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you which way I went, but
I'm not going to guess which way you went. I think I have an idea, but you might surprise me. I don't think it's guaranteed one way or the other. So,
but I just want to thank all the coaches that coached and took the time, you know, to make it to the games and help with the kids and everybody showing up. And hope everybody likes their shooting shirt, because I think they're really cool. So, now we got to jump down. We've got the transition into our Nashville League.
And it was worth the drive.
And Brent came down this Saturday.
Absolutely worth the drive. Let me tell my favorite story from it. Two kids from White's Creek, and we've talked about it. There's no coaches. It's on a rotation. So attendance could be sporadic. One kid from White's Creek was the sixth man because the team only had five twice, and another player walked in the gym right as the game started, so he didn't get to play.
He was upset.
But the kids hung out there all day, wanting to play.
Every time the teams would be warming up, and they'd come over to me and go, can we play with them? Can we play with them?
Can we play?
They would play.
Oh, they were lobbying.
They would play six games.
Oh yeah,
without question.
Absolutely, it's awesome. I mean, they're the kind of kids that are like, guys, it's time to go home, and they're like, no, we still want to play. That was a lot of fun.
I mean, it's been like that the whole time, so I'm real excited about that. But we've got the championship. Well, we've got all the games set. You know, Syracuse and Vanderbilt will play at 9. North Carolina and Florida at 10. Kentucky and Clemson play at 11, and then the second place game is Auburn versus Duke, and that's Auburn is the Caleb Hollander, who you got to see.
Yes.
First time you got to see him, Chico Plunkett, who had 28.
Yep.
Kid with the blonde hair and the headband.
Mm-hmm.
He was filling it up.
Yeah.
James Coe is on that team. And then for Duke, you didn't get to see Grayson Murphy, but he should be there this weekend. He's a rising junior and
you know who I did get to see?
Player.
This year's favorite player.
My favorite player?
My favorite player, Ross Cummings.
Yeah, you did get to see Ross, and he had a good game.
He did.
He had his best game of the year with 23, and they lost in overtime.
That's what was cool about the league. That's what was cool. The game went into overtime, and based on the rotation, Ross wasn't in the 2 minutes overtime.
At the overtime,
because of the rotation. It wasn't a coaching decision. It was a rotation decision.
And it's actually our first overtime, so I don't know if we need to change that rule to leave the guys in.
It was tough.
I try my best to – you know, to match them up together so that when that last rotation comes, the best players are playing against the best players. I always tried to do that. But then when overtime came, I mean, how do you justify leaving them in when it's a rotation change? So you need to change the rotation. So
no, I don't think
I think, you know, I think the team that won was the team that was going to win, I guess. I don't know.
Both teams hit big shots. It was an exciting game.
There were some big shots hit in that, hit in that game. But the championship game, I'm very excited. Both teams undefeated. What'd you think of Kenny Cooper?
Oh, that one-handed lob he caught.
I was not expecting that.
No, I was not expecting that.
5'11", 6-foot kid. I mean, they threw him a lob. He caught it left-handed in the lane.
Easily.
Just yoked it. It was nasty.
Nice.
It's
nasty.
Awesome. Watching short people dunk is something I can do all
day. I mean, it was one of them where, like, everybody gets up and runs. You know? All the kids get up in the stands and just start running.
That is the one use I have for short people is dunking. When short people dunk, it's awesome. Other than that,
pretty awesome.
Yeah, short people.
That was great. And he played so well in that game. 21
points. He did. He played really well.
And that's a good team. They've got a really good team with Kenny Cooper. They got Christian Bell and Tyler Falkenberry from Mount Juliet, who both have had really good seasons. Nick Murphy, another FRA kid. So they're playing what I consider the big dog, and that's Tennessee. They're also 4-0, and that's the team with Jaden Lewis and the three Blackman kids, Jarrell Reeves, Jacob Nelson, and then they've also got Jimmy Greer from Cane Ridge. And I'm telling you, those Blackman kids come to play.
What is in – and I'm going to go back to what you said about some players in the past. We got a DNA test them. They're mixed in with something. Wolf, grizzly bear.
Shark.
Yeah. Just something.
Wolverine.
Coyote.
Something.
Just something dangerous mixed into that DNA.
I wish I could explain it. I wish I was articulate enough to just explain the difference, just how they play. I think it rubs off on the kids playing in that particular game.
Yes.
You can see
it's contagious.
You know, it's contagious because, I mean, the intensity level, like I said, they could be – if you watch them play in a fall league game, you would think they're playing the seventh game of the NBA
I'll watch that rebound go out of bounds. It's fall league.
Not like, and it's not even like, oh, I'm falling on the floor to get this. I mean, I'm talking diving across lane to get a loose ball. I mean, this is in the fall league.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had other, you know, I don't know. I just don't understand.
They're athletic. They're all strong. You can tell that Coach Workman has a good weight program in place.
They're just their intensity, their attitude. They just come to play, and it doesn't matter. You're not going to beat us.
No.
You're not. I mean, we're not going to allow that to happen. And I'm just – I'm looking forward to the championship game. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, their intensity and then Kenny Cooper running the show on the other end. I mean, Kenny Cooper is a smart, tough player. Lipscomb's getting a really, really good player. And he's just smart. He's intelligent. He can shoot the ball. He makes really good passes. And he kind of controls that tempo. He's a really good defender out front, yes. too. So.
Yes, the on-the-ball defense in that league was incredible.
It was, just a, you know. So, all right. Well, we got those segments in. We're going to go ahead and transition over. Our next segment will be the Kelly Chiropractic Coaches Interview with Coach Bill Robinson from Milligan College. So that's coming up next. And this is Andre Whitehead, Sports Radio 1180, the BLZ.
Join us for an in-depth discussion of the penetrating issues facing society today.
Penetrating.
The Swain Event, the fourth quarter, Rocky Top Insider Radio, the Dave Hooker Show, and more. Sports talk around the clock, sun up to sundown, and online all the time. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I was on the way from Kandahar to Klot, hit an IED that just took the truck and threw it up in the air and slammed it on the ground. I knew at first that I got hurt pretty bad because I couldn't move my legs. I sat home alone for months. And I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. I was hesitant at first, you know, because I didn't work for a good year. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be a drain on society. I want to be a positive thing in society. PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Helping veterans like Eric is what we've done for over 65 years. Paralyzed Veterans of America, paving access for veterans employment through Operation PAVE. For more information, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is Andre Whitehead at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio to talk about my friends at the John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. For all your commercial, home, and auto needs, look to the John Bailey Company at 1011 North Broadway in Knoxville or contact them at 865-524-0785 or email at johnbaileyco.com. The John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. How can we help you? Have you ever wanted to see more of the Avengers, X-Men, or Walking Dead, or learn more about the Arrow or the Flash? Or maybe you're looking for a great way to get your child into reading without having to spend a lot of money? Then check out Snake Eyes Comics. Snake Eyes Comics has been Knoxville's top spot for all your comic and nerd needs. With two convenient locations in the Home Depot Shopping Center in West Knoxville and off the Callahan Road exit in North Knoxville, Snake Eyes Comics has something for everyone. Find us on Facebook and stop in today.
People wanted to keep up with and talk about their favorite sports teams, so we took care of it.
What'd you do?
All the latest info.
All the best talk.
Here on the Sports Station.
The Vols, Titans, and more. Sound off. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, at sportsradiothevlz.net.
Okay, we are back. This is Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Andre Whitehead. Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ. And on the phone with me now in our Kelly Chiropractic Coaching segment, we have Mr. Bill Robinson, the head guy at Milligan. How you doing, Coach?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Hey, great to see you, man. Good talking to you. Thank you for taking the time to be on the radio with us and talk a little bit of basketball, man. It's I've seen you a couple times. Saw you at the showcase. Saw you at a couple of the Fall League events. So I appreciate you coming out and taking a look at the guys. Hopefully, I'd like to get your opinion on that too, on what, you know, I try my best to get as many kids in the gym so that every coach will come and watch and just, you know, not have to jump gym to gym and, you know, can sit in one spot and watch just pretty much every good player that we've got in our area. So, I mean,
it's a huge benefit to us. Obviously, we don't have a huge staff. We just got one full-time, one part-time guy. So, to be able to have an event like that where you can be in one gym and watch multiple courts, you can see two games going at once, sometimes just slide over and watch the second half of the third game, and that's a huge advantage for a small college like Milligan.
Yeah, I appreciate you being there. So just wanted to get the people a little bit of history. This will be your seventh year at Milligan, I believe, after a 12-year stint at Montreat.
That's correct. Yeah, this will be 21 years as a head coach. So,
wow, crazy!
Been a good run so far, and got a good group of guys right now. I'm very excited about.
Well, good deal. We probably want to talk a little bit about a couple of those guys here in a minute, but we like to, the Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio. We like to talk a little bit about recruiting and just kind of the ins and outs of recruiting. We like to talk a little bit about the different levels. We've had D1 coaches, D2 coaches, NAIA coaches, JUCO, D3. High school, coach on every level. So we like to always talk about the recruiting. And recruiting is a funny animal because a lot of times, when you're talking to the kids, well, everybody thinks they're a Division I player for a while. And then, sure. Well, if they're not a Division I player, they say, well, I'm a D2 player. Well, obviously you've not seen Division II basketball in a while, which is pretty much decorated now with exclusively D1 transfers. So... And then, I could play in the NAI or something. I think you need to, go check out the level at which they play before you make a statement like that. Have you found that that education on the level is needed really badly?
Definitely. And I think the people that are in the know understand it. Joe Holiday was a good friend of mine who used to be Roy Williams' assistant down at Carolina, and he said, recruiting at the NAI level is probably the hardest level to recruit at because people don't really understand the NAI. Everybody wants to go NCAA, even if it was Division III. They just don't understand what NAI is all about. And we have a JV program, too, so our funnel is huge at the top. We may have talked to 200 or 300 kids. At Carolina, they may talk to 10. So it's quite a bit different at our level, trying to educate them about exactly how it is. I got a guy I go to church with, and he said, "Nah, I saw this one kid. You'll love him. He's a great player." I said, "Have you ever been to one of our games to see exactly what our level's at?" And he said, "Well, no." I said, "Well, how do you know if I love this kid if you've never even seen us play?" So, and the times that a lot of local people see us play against ETSU, and we look so bad against a great Division I team that they're going to be really good this year, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Forbes has got it.
Yeah.
Forbes has absolutely got it. They're going to be – it's a whole different animal now that he's got in. I mean, he's brought in like 6 transfers.
Yeah.
And those are great games for us to play locally, to be able to be in the community. And those guaranteed games help us. We need that money to be able to do some special things for our guys.
Yeah, and that's just kind of the battle that I come across too as well. When doing evaluations and trying to project what level a kid can play at, I've seen you play. I know the level of basketball there, and a lot of people get really offended when you tell them, because I don't even D2 is not even in my vocab anymore because it's all. I mean, there's a 70% transfer rate in Division I, and all those kids are not sitting out a year to play basketball. So they're, 80% of that group is probably going Division II. That's why when you look at the list for the D2s, I mean, look at the Sporting News book just came out. Look at the list of the transfers eligible this year. It's like 4 pages long, and the print is really small. It's crazy. Yeah. And majority of those kids are going to Division II schools.
Right.
So, just trying to educate the people on the level. I mean, trying to get them to understand that it's not a slight to say, well, you're an NAIA Division III type player. It's still a college basketball player. Yeah. NAIA, the money is just as green as it is at UT. The level thing has always just seemed to be such a sticking point for everybody that, and then they end up going there and realizing, well, I'm not good enough to play right away anyway. Wow, this is a lot harder than I thought. And then the ones that actually, buy in, you turn out to be pretty good players. But the ones that, and I know you have the attrition there just like they do at any other school. But I know that's a battle that you come up against is just how people just do not understand. And especially local people. I mean, LMU gets the same thing. Carson Newman gets the same thing. They all get, there's someone in Morristown always calling Chuck saying, "Hey, man, you've got to take this kid. You've got to take this kid." And it's just like, you know, we've seen this kid. There is no chance that he can play on this level.
Right. And one of the things about Milligan, too, being a Christian college, they want us to recruit Milligan kids who want to be a Christian college, kids who can make it academically. It's tough academically at Milligan. And then find kids who can help you win basketball games, too. So when I came, they made it very clear they wanted kids that will stay. My very first class at Milligan, they had one senior. He came in with nine and was the only one standing at the end of the 4 years. So we've done a really good job of being able to get kids, even our JV kids, that want to stay for 4 years, even if they play JV all 4 years, but to be able to graduate and get that Milligan degree is very important to us.
Yeah, hey, Coach, it's Watts. I know one of the things that we talked about when I was Chuck Bensoning you over there at Alcoa, you're a victim, I like it, is the ability of
you can get a shot for that, by the way.
is something we talked about was work-life balance, how you can be at a great location there in Johnson City, at a great college like Milligan, and you can do what you love, which is coach basketball and coach very good athletes, and have a family and be actively involved with your family life as well. What I want you to kind of allude to is the work-life balance for the student athlete. How do good grades affect the scholarship money that you're available to give them in their total financial package and the way it works at Milligan?
It's funny you talk about the family life right now. We're actually in the minivan driving to see my youngest daughter play in the championship volleyball match tonight. And you got my son, my daughter, my wife all hanging out, heading over there. So I don't think I could do that at a higher level. So I appreciate the level that we're at. But being academically high academic kid gives us a huge opportunity to be able to package kids and make it affordable to come. People look at the price tag and see Milligan's $35,000 and think there's no way I can come. But when you look at a kid who's a high, we're actually recruiting a kid right now from Elizabethan who's got a 35 ACT, a 4.0.
35?
Yeah, it goes that high?
He's going to get $15,000 just in academic money.
Wow. I made a 35. Did you know that, Coach?
You took it three times.
Well, if you add all three times together, I'm at 35.
Yeah, and he's a baseball kid, too. So, you know, he may actually do both and get some extra money from
awesome.
You know, however he decides to do it. But, you know, it allows us to package a kid, and then it allows us to maybe get one more quality player if we can get three high academic kids. I know you're going to ask me about Kay Wood and Nichols. Both those kids were high academic.
Oh yeah,
kids.
Definitely going to ask about that. Those are kids that pretty much they played in everything we did for 4 years, so I got really close to them. So yeah, I guess we can. Good segue, by the way. We could transition right into that with Kay Wood and Nichols. I know they're in there. They'll be freshmen this year, and then Ed Kalu, I believe, was a kid that did he redshirt?
No, he did.
He played. Okay.
He played a little bit for us, but we got to watch. Actually got to watch Kaywood and Nichols play against each other in Rocky Top last year.
There you
which
go.
Was really a huge advantage for us, too, because not only did you get the chance to see them play, but you actually got to evaluate them against each other. And now that having them, both of those kids, the neat thing about Kaywood, you know how great a kid is when you walk into your event a couple weeks ago down at Carson Newman. I had four college coaches ask me about him. Hey, you know, how's Kaywood doing?
That's
everybody
awesome.
Loved that
he
kid.
Was a great
they
kid. He was, and I was very fond of Tyler Nichols, too. I mean, I was fond of him for, he was a kid who got in touch with me as a young kid and wanted to come and play in all our stuff. And for, you know, geographically, I mean, Elizabethton is a pretty good ride from, you know, from Knoxville. And he was there every weekend. He showed up for all the practices. He got a little attention. And that's really, honestly, the only reason we do the fall leagues and the only reason we do the showcase is to get the kids' attention so you can see them. And when kids get signed because of our events or from our events or at least get that first notice from our events, well, that's, you know, to me, that's all that matters. I mean, that's exactly what we're doing this for.
The great thing about Nichols, too, he brought two of his best friends from high school with him to play JV for us. Chase Phillips up from Johnson County. He's playing JV for us, and Alex Jones from Elizabeth, one of Tyler's best friends, playing JV for us now. So both those guys, Kaywood and Nichols, have brought a lot to us, but they've also brought some extra stuff, too, that that you just can't really – you can't gauge that and how it's going to work out. But Kaywood's just – he's tougher than I thought he was. I knew he was a tough kid. I didn't realize how strong he was already, and he's hit our weight program really hard, and I think he's already gained 5 pounds and done a really good job of just – and neither one of those kids are going to start right away, but we're going to need both of them to play.
Hey, Coach, talk to me. I know for some people it's a it's a concept they're not too familiar with, how valuable a college JV program is. Because I can remember my days at Maryville, we had several, and I'm thinking four or five guys that by the time they were juniors and seniors that were contributing minutes, a lot of minutes, that started out on the JV team as a freshman. How valuable is it in your program?
It is very valuable. We had a kid, Scott Blake, was a South Green kid, Greenville kid, who played 2 years at JV. He was just our best shooter on the JV, and we moved him up, and he actually averaged 10 points a game on the varsity and had just a great impact on our program. And we use our JV for many different things, but it gives opportunities for kids who want to be at Milligan. Some of them want to be varsity players. Some of them just want to play basketball in college, and the load academically is tough enough to actually only have to practice an hour a day instead of 2 hours a day to play 14 games instead of 30 games. We've actually have kids who like that. They want to play, but yet academics is still their main focus. And so it's been a really good thing for us. The neatest thing for us is being able to go to North Carolina to play against the Tar Heel JV in the Smith Center before a varsity game. And that allows us a huge thing in recruiting kids alone, just to be able to know that they're going to play a game in the Smith Center. This year we're going to be there February 14th before Pitt. So we'll get the chance to see an ACC game, big-time ACC game. Last year we got to see Virginia when they were number 3 in the country. And walk out the same tunnel that Virginia walks out of, and our locker room is literally 2 doors down from where Virginia's locker room is. And it just gives those guys a better feel for what big-time college basketball is all about.
Yeah, that is great. And that's awesome, the experiences that they get to experience like that. That's just stuff, that's invaluable. That's stuff that you tell your grandkids. That's fantastic. Yeah. And, Coach, we got some new rules coming this year in college basketball, and I'm just I'm of the opinion that the point guard is going to be more valuable than ever because of the new rules. What do you think about that with the shortness of the clock? I think and I just think that possessions are going to be more valuable. I think that an intelligent high basketball IQ is going to be something that, if you have that, the transition into, getting used to that shorter clock, I think is going to be shorter for some people if you've got a point guard that is, has that high IQ and stuff like that. So what's your opinion on the some of the new rules?
You're scaring me a little bit because my starter is a sophomore, we have two backups are both freshmen, so we're gonna be tested early, I'm sure. I think the new rules are just part of the game. I don't like the new rules. I don't like when they change things. I wish they just keep things the same. I guess I sound like an old fart when I say that, but the 30-second shot clock is going to be a bigger impact than we talked about it all summer. We talked about it at camps. We talked about it when we get together with our coaches, and everybody kind of thought it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
It's going to be a huge deal.
Yeah. As soon as we started practicing and we started practicing with the clock every day, it became very evident that it's going to become a big deal right away.
You're going to have people just chucking shots at the end of it, not
realizing it. Step back jumpers. I hate the step back jumper, and you're going to see so many.
Ugh, it's going to be awful.
It's going to be. And we've attacked it defensively so far. We're really trying to find ways to slow people down, to force them, 6-7 seconds in the backcourt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're setting up their offense, and look up, there's 15 seconds.
No, I agree. That's exactly what I was thinking. People that do that, that run that sort of, it's almost just like a mock semi-press, just to take a few more seconds and, and give them a little bit of more trouble bringing the ball up the court. I think that's it's a great strategy, Coach. But you're right. I mean, and then when you come across and and then you take that breath and you look up, oh, my God, we got 12 seconds and we got to do something. So, I think that transition is going to be tough.
At our level, when you yell 10 seconds, somebody shoots it right away.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And what we're trying to get our guys to do is watch an NFL quarterback and watch the play clock, and it gets down to 5, and he's still making 3 more changes and clapping his hands twice, and the ball's being snapped with 1. Mm-hmm. That's more, I think we'll end up yelling something at 5 and still be able to get a shot off, but we don't want our guys to panic at 10. We know we still got 3 passes and a ball screen that we can get within the last 5 seconds and get something quality. So it's definitely something we'll practice. Again, something we haven't talked about, haven't worked on, has not been in our practice plan in the past, but something we've done an awful lot with already this fall.
Hey, Coach, talk a little bit about the advantage of the early signing period for you guys, and what percentage of your recruits at your level are come in the early signing period.
I think in my whatever 25 years in college coaching, three as an assistant, I think we've signed four kids early.
Okay.
And yeah, generally, generally the way the recruiting works is the D1s go first, and then it trickles down.
Yeah.
You know, right. That's just kind of how recruiting works, because that's where Raul will tell you.
Oh, yeah.
They have to wait till like everybody's done to see who's left.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
We signed good kids early. The ones we did sign, we liked, and we signed them early, and they worked out. But for the most part, we've signed some of our best talented kids in August. Kids that obviously went through the whole thing and figured out that they weren't Division I players, and we've waited and been able to have some money. We always like to have a little bit of money left in the summer just in case somebody pops up. This year we didn't, but it still allows us to have a little extra money for next year's class.
Well, you when you said that you didn't like any of the rule changes, you kind of ruined my next question. I was going to ask you, if there was one rule change you could make, what would it be? So obviously none, but I'm of the opinion that they need to take the three-point line and put it at the NBA range, and it needs to be universal in every level of basketball, because I hate the different lengths of the three-point line. I'm not a big fan of the three-point line to begin with, but I think it's ruined basketball.
Yeah,
but
your jump shot, I see that.
Yeah.
I didn't play with it in high school. So
yeah, of course, none of us did that. Are
I did.
You didn't play with it in high school.
Yeah, I did.
You did not.
I played in the 90s.
You didn't. He's lying.
Yeah. I did.
Game. You saw his hairline. You'd know better than that.
Well, Coach, I got two things for you real quick. Explain to me a little bit about what you're doing about player safety and making it stylish this year.
Player safety and making it stylish?
Yeah, with some ankle braces.
Oh, God.
You got some of the coolest ankle braces you've ever seen. We got the Buff logo, which is...
Yeah, that is my favorite logo. Your Buffalo logo. The kid that came up with that, Zach Allen, your trainer, told me the story about that. That logo is awesome.
It's renovated our whole, all of our gear. Everybody, it's got our practice gear. We tried to put it on our uniforms, but Nike wouldn't let us. They had to go with it.
Yes.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
But somebody made a comment during a volleyball game the other day, and they noticed somebody obviously did not know you and didn't know how we got those stylish ankle braces, but they are the coolest ankle braces I've ever seen. And
Zach gets a lot of credit. Zach is the one that pushed to get that logo.
Saying somebody didn't know Brent?
It was one of two people, I think, who didn't.
Wow, that's crazy.
Nobody knows
Brent.
According
to him, everybody knows.
They know Watts. They don't know Brent. Well, Coach, I got to do this. I know we talked about it. We have our famous question, Stranded on an Island. And as you being a great Milligan coach, I know of a couple other great Milligan coaches, and I'm going to put you on the spot, and you're going to have to pick. If you were going to be stranded on an island, and so you're going to be there. Well,
hopefully he's met him before.
Yeah, well, you could just do it by reputation, but they both played at Milligan. Based on reputation, would it be with Mike Morrell or Dell Harris?
Wow, that's a tough one.
Have you met them?
Dell actually came back to homecoming a couple years ago. We got a chance to spend some time with our guys, and we got two huge pictures of him up in my office right now. I actually have a team picture with him and Sonny Smith.
Awesome.
They played together. And their head coach back there, it was the 50s, 55, 56, something like that. Deward Walker, who was their head coach back then, still comes and sits behind our bench every game. And he just turned, he's 91 this month.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And he'll come by and he'll say, hey, good game. Still don't like the way you guys line up for the national anthem. But, he's that type of guy. I would have to say Morrell just because Morrell and I are good friends. I don't think too many people knew that Morrell actually was offered the job when I got it 7 years ago. They came to him and offered him the job, and look at what he's done now.
Yeah.
Opportunity to be at Texas, and he always wanted to be a big-time Division I coach, and he's obviously in a great situation with Shaka. But,
yes. Well, that's awesome.
I think we'd have better conversations with Dell Harris, but we probably have more fun with Morrell.
Yeah, Morrell's probably young enough to still get out there and fish and kill and skin animals and things like that to keep you guys alive.
It's awesome that somebody like Dell Harris comes from a small college and still stays
cool.
in touch, because he has had a very long, successful career.
The ironic thing is I had gone through a lot of textbooks, a lot of basketball books, and one of the ones I had was one of his defensive books. Had half of my philosophy was probably stuff I learned from him, and then I end up at Milligan.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is great. Well, Coach, we're going to bring this segment to an end. Thank you so much for taking the time to shed a little light on us and give us some quality instruction there, and I appreciate it. And we will do our best to get up to a game this year. We're going to try to get out and see some more, especially Brandon. He hasn't really got a chance to get out there and see as much of the small college.
Andre keeps me locked up.
Yeah, we only let him out. We only let him out like on like leap years and things like that.
Full moons. So, full moons.
You know, we got to do that. But thank you so much, Coach. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Anytime, just let me know. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that was Bill Robinson, the head coach at Milligan College. And we're going to go ahead and take this segment to an end. This is the Kelly Chiropractic Coaching Interview. And this is Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
People wanted to keep up with and talk about their favorite sports teams, so we took care of it.
What'd you do?
All the latest info, all the best talk, here on the Sports Station.
The Vols, Titans, and more. Sound off. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, at sportsradiothevlz.net.
Have you ever wanted to see more of the Avengers, X-Men, or Walking Dead, or learn more about the Arrow or the Flash? Or maybe you're looking for a great way to get your child into reading without having to spend a lot of money? Then check out Snake Eyes Comics. Snake Eyes Comics has been Knoxville's top spot for all your comic and nerd needs. With two convenient locations in the Home Depot Shopping Center in West Knoxville and off the Callahan Road exit in North Knoxville, Snake Eyes Comics has something for everyone. Find us on Facebook and stop in today. This is Andre Whitehead at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio to talk about my friends at the John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. For all your commercial, home, and auto needs, look to the John Bailey Company at 1011 North Broadway in Knoxville or contact them at 865-524-0785 or email at johnbaileyco.com. The John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. How can we help you?
Join us for an in-depth discussion of the penetrating issues facing society today.
Penetrating.
The Swain Event, the fourth quarter. Rocky Top Insider Radio. The Dave Hooker Show and more. Sports talk around the clock. Sun up to sundown and online all the time. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ. That something
wasn't right. Oh, baby, baby. Okay, we are back. This is Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio. And Brent, one of my favorite players, announced yesterday his college choice.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my Team Thad guys.
A so national recruiting
powerhouse. There's our obligatory
powerhouse.
Team Thad. And by the way, on October 31st, on Halloween, I'm going down to Memphis. Team Thad's putting on a camp before, the kids start high school practice that following Monday. So it's kind of like the last camp, and he's getting a lot of guys to come in. So he invited me to come down there as a media representative, so I am going to do that.
This is like, you're taking them trick-or-treating. That's what you're going to take them trick-or-treating.
I am. I'm going to go dressed as Seth Stokes.
It's a good thing to go dressed as.
You're going to have to get one heck of a hairpiece.
I'm going to, what do you mean? I have more hair than him.
But his hair is beautiful, and he has more hair.
You don't have
you
more
You do
hair
not have more
me.
Hair. There's no,
it's not
no.
close.
You lost this one, sorry. We love you.
I mean, it's...
We
it
love
starts,
you.
Well, it just it's volume. He has more volume.
Yeah, that would be.
I just got
that,
haircut,
that would be equivalent. Oh, okay. Volume would be equivalent with more.
Well, I mean, I don't want you to imply that I'm losing hair. I just had a haircut.
Hey, just let
and
me.
He has curly.
Just let me
it's
bask. It's not often that I'm on the winning end of an argument.
You're
so.
Never on the winning end of an argument. But anyway, you made me lose track. Jalen Fisher, the point guard, the number one player in the state, is headed all the way out west.
Vegas.
To play for UNLV. So congratulations, yes. Jalen. Man, I hope you do great out there. You know, I'll be rooting for you and watching you as we can. And then local news.
Yes.
One of my favorite players that's played in the last couple of years
big
and
news,
played in
yeah.
all our stuff, Lucas Campbell from CAK, had went over to UT and was doing some track stuff. And yesterday he got the opportunity to Coach Barnes asked him to be an invited walk-on on the basketball team. So now Lucas Campbell is a member of the Vols.
That's a good thing. That's
that
a good
awesome.
Kid.
That, great kid, yep. local kid that, hopefully some local people will come and help support.
Also a good kid to have in and around your program.
For he is. He's a great student. He's going to work his tail off every day, no matter what. I know Lucas, he plays hard. And, you know, getting, you know, playing against that level of athlete, Lucas was very well coached in high school. Shane Wells, one of our favorite. So that I think that's got a lot to do with the, you know, the maturation of him as a player so that he's going to be able to step right in and fill a role.
Lucas.
I mean, fill a role. He may not get to play a lot of in the games because he's a walk-on, but he's going to be a valuable, valuable asset in practice because he's not going to let them guys let up.
Yep. Yep.
And that's all you can ask for in a walk-on. So.
Yep.
All right. Now, Seth, once again, I'm in Nashville. Watch shows up. I look around. And finally, like in the fourth game, I look up, Drew Maddox shows up.
This is the worst story.
It just immediately, he's got his Watts has got his eyes transfixed, and I'm like, oh God, he's going to go over there and Chuck Benson, poor Drew Maddox. But what happened?
This is like, now let Charles Dickens tell the story, okay? So Watts shows up a little bit late because he can't find a place to get coffee. Walks into the gym. I'm like, hey, what's up?
Hold on. That was like Watts. The most yuppie Starbucks.
And if you drove, you come down Hillsborough Avenue to go to CPA, you pass like 13 Starbucks.
I'm not that bright.
10 McDonald's.
No, nobody said I was a
genius. 4 Wendy's, yeah, whatever.
But I roll in. There they are. Wow. I see Ross Cummings, my favorite player. Things are going on. Some other, I walk up. I'm like, I'm Watts. Like, oh, yeah, from the radio show. I'm like, yeah, I'm the really, really good-looking half of the radio show. Yes, I know. Thank you. And I had to wait. And nobody wait and wait. And Drew Maddox kept me waiting all day. Didn't show up till like the fourth game. And I got there for the first game.
Obviously, you got you're there not with that two
important. Minutes. He built the hype. And you know what? It was worth it. I got to meet Drew Maddox. Tried to corner him. Savvy veteran. Didn't get cornered. Got slightly Chuck Benson. Not near as much as I would have liked to have Chuck Benson'd him. But sounds Drew got to so meet dirty. Drew.
He did. Drew. It's almost embarrassing, Seth. Yeah. I mean, I got to turn my head. And like, I don't know who that is.
That's Drew Maddox, baby.
Wow.
Good pasture, Vanderbilt. Coaches a CPA.
But so we had a good day in Nashville, though. I mean, I was really glad that you got to come up and see, you know, what I get to talk about all the time. That's why I was really happy that you got to come up and see just, you know, the level of intensity that those kids play with. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it.
And the league,
you know, we talked about it a little bit in the first segment, but I mean, I can't say enough. And it's, you know, the Blackman kids are great and they play hard, but they're not the only ones. The White Creek kids,
yeah.
I mean, Carlton Battle's done a fantastic job with that program. Those kids are, they've come to play. I mean, Jimmy Greer's come, everybody. It's just, you know, when those kids get in those games and it gets intense and it rubs off on everybody. And then everybody starts playing hard. And,
well, we had a really good conversation about the league. The number of Division I players in the league with Knoxville is about the same. It's 2, 3, 4. I don't know exactly the number.
In Nashville and Knoxville?
In Nashville and Knoxville.
There's quite a few more in Nashville.
But the meat of the league where what we were talking about and we could is there's not really a D2 prospect anymore.
Yeah,
it's a Division I transfer.
Yeah, we were talking to a Division II coach that stayed there the whole day with us that you know, pretty much, you know, we've said that, you know, there's like, you know, basically you're a Division I or a Division III player anymore.
Yeah.
Because Division II has become the haven for every transfer from Division I since, like we talked about in the interview with Coach Robinson, 70% transfer
It's
rate.
Almost like
Those
Division
I. Those kids
are
not sitting out a year. They're going to play right away. The only way they can play right away, they go Division II.
It's like JUCO's biggest competition is now Division I. It's like they're both two-year schools.
Right.
It's crazy. But the meet, those Division III, NAIA, there's just a lot more small college players
in
the Nashville League than there is in the Knoxville League.
Well, in the Knoxville League, it's, you know, primarily we have NAIA D3 kids. And, you know, those are, you know, and that's not a slight. I hate when people think that that's a slight because, you know, those schools have scholarship money.
Yeah, well,
it's not a slight if you get to play basketball, man.
You know, our buddy Rick Campbell says it best. Here's the difference. Usually the difference is not skill. Division I, 6'6", 215. Division II, 6'4", 200. Division III, 6'2", 185. It's not really a skill. There could be some athleticism difference. There could be. There might not be.
There usually is.
Yeah, but usually it's that. You're 6'6", 215, they're looking at you Division I. You're 6'4", 200, they're looking at you Division II. So, and that's a great way. I mean, that's not a science right there. That's not set in stone, but that is kind of, you know, we talked about Jarrell Reeves, and that was a great conversation we had. You know, he's not really a shooting guard. He's not really a small forward. He's kind of a power forward, but you know what he can do?
He can defend.
He can defend two through five.
One through five. Yeah. Shoot, I put him on the point guard. He can defend him.
I'm going to make a bold statement. He can defend one through six. I said it.
You did.
And I believe it.
I believe it too. I believe he could one through seven even. I mean, the kid was, I mean, I love watching that kid play.
Yeah, that putback dunk he had.
I love watching that kid play. Yeah, he has all-out effort all the time. This will be his first year with Wortman, and he's already a Blackman kid. He's already
that culture. The culture that Wortman has there is very
and,
strong.
And they're going to be very good, and they're going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, just basketball in Murfreesboro right now
strong.
Is very strong. I'm not going to say that it's not Memphis.
No,
Memphis.
Don't you dare go
but
there.
It's a much, much, much smaller town than Memphis.
But there's
but
some good players.
There are some good players and some good programs.
There.
Yeah.
And some good coaches there. So, well, it's time to talk about our John Bailey Company Player of the Week. And we discussed this a little bit. I mean, should it be the MVP of the Fall League, Javonte G, who we've given it to before?
I think the first week of the league,
we gave it to him because
and it panned
and
out.
And it almost like, you know, and I even said, I think I remember saying it after the second week to you, if they win this title, even if they make it to the championship game and don't win, I'm really seriously thinking about naming him MVP because just how great he did. But, you know, since he'd already won the been the Player of the Week, the John Bailey Company Player of the Week one time before, we decided to go in a different direction. And
very deserving direction.
I couldn't think of anybody. I was so excited yesterday when I heard the news about Lucas Campbell getting the walk-on spot.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I mean, I'm friends with his dad. I'm friends with his parents. I love Lucas. I remember the first time I saw him as a sophomore, I even wrote some stuff about him, how much I enjoyed watching him play and how tough I thought he was and how hard he played. And so I just pulled rank on Watts there, and I just said that I think Lucas Campbell from CAK that's taking the walk-on spot at UT is our John Bailey Company Player of the Week.
I think that's a great decision. I don't know how you pulled rank on me because we
did you hear
agreed.
That, Seth?
I somehow
he was crying like a little girl earlier when I did it.
There was no agree to disagree statement there. It was a complete agreement. It was Andre, you and I did something like we usually do. It was mutual.
Wow. I'm not sure what that
I'm
means.
I'm not sure you've done anything mutual.
Yeah, I don't think you've done anything. Yeah,
consensual,
there you go.
It was a consensual decision that Andre and I made.
All forced, awkward situations.
Yeah.
If it ain't awkward, it ain't fun.
Well, I mean, there is some truth to that as well.
Wow. Okay, now our Mortgage Investors Group, Darren Poppin, Coach of the Week. And this we're just calling this the Road Warrior Award this week.
Yeah, thank you. Know,
we gave the award to Steinmetz a couple weeks ago. We gave the award to Upchurch last week. Unfortunately, every time we gave one of the Fall League coaches an award, they lost the previous week. So, but anyway, so we decided that a college coach that came to the Fall League in Knoxville
spent
and
the whole
stayed
day.
All 6 hours, that also came to Nashville and stayed all 5 hours, deserves recognition as the since there's no games going on right now, he deserves recognition as the Mortgage Investors Group Darren Poppin Coach of the Week. And Cole Rose, who else could it be?
And Cole, just great to talk to, brought a lot of insight, especially
I've known
about
Cole
what,
since high school.
Yeah,
he was in the first rendition of the Rocky Top League. He played on the Rick Campbell's team with Andy Tipton and Tyler Gaskin, and they won the league. And
he was
Damon
quite a
Johnson
player.
Was on it, I think. Damon Johnson,
yeah, DJ. But Cole just brought a wealth of knowledge of what he looks for, what they're looking for as they enter full play in the Gulf South in a very competitive
and
Division
also the
II
difficulties
conference.
Of kind of coaching D2 now, yeah, with the new, you know, kind of like just the new stuff that's happening with them, as you know that every coach is looking for 4-year players, but with the rash of transfers, I'm not sure it's feasible anymore.
You know, do you blame kids? I mean, if a Division I offers everybody, somebody offers you your dream, it's tough to turn down. Do you want to play Division I basketball? I've always wanted to, yes.
Yeah,
like, and
I
then,
mean, if Brittany called tomorrow, I'd move.
Make sure your phone's charged.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. My number has not changed, by the way. Did you hear that, Seth? I'm saying there's a chance.
Possible.
Okay, good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and bring this to a... to a close. This is Andre Whitehead, let me know my name, with Brent Watts, Seth Stokes, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the PLC.
I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends.